know you can't meditate. If you a freak, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, knock, let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Happy hump day, or should it be Amon Shump Ert Day here?
We'll need him.
We'll need him tonight in Atlanta. The Cavs kick off their playoff series against the Atlanta Hawks, the Eastern Conference Finals, 8:30 tonight in Atlanta. So certainly want to get your take on that. Call your shot for the series. Atlanta apparently not selling out game number one. So hopefully they'll be able to get that taken care of. Get some Browns fans. Get some Cavs fans down there.
Browns Travel fans, from Cavs Cleveland, fans, everybody Indians fans. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't Buckeyes fans. Get down
get
there.
Get to Hotland.
Fine city, Atlanta.
Fine city.
Yeah, it is. It's where I spent my college days at Emory University down in Atlanta.
You know what?
Had a good time down there.
I was so enthralled with the city of Atlanta that when we were playing the Falcons on one trip, I actually started speaking to a realtor about buying a condo in Buckhead.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why Atlanta said they have the best home court and home field advantage in professional sports, because the nightlife is so alluring to visiting professional athletes.
It is. Let's just hope that the Cleveland Cavaliers are asleep.
Yeah, Jalen Rose said it's the toughest city for an NBA team to go to because...
You know, it is, but it's not. I mean, seriously, with what's at stake...
Well, now, in the Eastern Conference, that's different. But I'm saying
in a regular season, yeah. Well, how about baseball? Baseball, when you play 162 games, you can get swept by the Braves but have an amazing four nights in Atlanta.
You certainly could have a great four nights in Atlanta, historic four nights. Our other Ohio Business Machine hot topic of the day, obviously the new PAT rule in the National Football League. They have moved it from the 2-yard line to the 15, making it basically a 33-yard field goal. Now, just like extra points, kickers will have the option to kick it from the left hash, the middle, or the right hash. And PATs have been kicked at about 99% success rate. Doing some studies from the middle of the field, 30 to 35-yard field goals have been converted at about a 97% rate. So not a big difference. It still should be automatic, but what you're going to get are teams going harder to block it because now they can block it and return it for 2 points. So there are some changes, and it is going to be different. And we have, because we are a very topical show, after we had the head coach of the Cleveland Browns yesterday, we're going to have special teams coordinator Chris Tabor with us at 2 o'clock Eastern today and let us know what he thinks about the new rule change. We'll also talk to him about the return game. Will we see Justin Gilbert returning kicks for the Browns in his second season? We'll talk with Chris Tabor about that at 2 p.m. What do you think about the new extra point rule? Does it matter that much to you? What do you think about it? Does it change things that much? Do you think teams will go for 2 more often or not? We'll certainly talk about that. We'll get Matt Wilhelm's take on the impact it has on players. It's also Wednesday, so tweet us your questions in the Browns mailbag using the hashtag mailbag to @Browns_daily, @NathanZagura, @MattWilhelm35. That account will be active sooner rather than later, we hope. And we'll also have ESPN NFL insider Mike Sando with us today at 1:30. His article came out at ESPN.com today grading each team's offseason. A very impressive group. Bill Polian, Lewis Riddick, Matt Williams, and Field Yates going together compiling the Browns. While they were number 2 in the draft class for NFL.com, number 2 in the draft for Fox.Sports.com, they got great grades all around. ESPN, not a huge fan, though, overall of their offseason, giving it a C+ for a lack of addressing the deficiencies in the passing game. We'll talk with Mike Sando about that. But, Matt, how are you doing today on this Wednesday?
Doing
lots
great.
Going on.
Lots going on. I'm excited for the series to start. I stayed up probably a little too late to watch the Western Conference Finals. Just didn't have much opportunity to see Golden State actually play. You know, you see a lot of highlights. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, you know, that entire roster is so Iguodala, you know, Harrison Barnes, just very talented top to bottom. But I've never actually seen them play a game.
Sure.
And it's just unfortunate that, you know, Dwight Howard, who is probably not the toughest man on the planet, although he coins himself Superman, you know, got hurt, really forced the Houston Rockets to go small, and I thought that played right into the hands of the Golden State Warriors.
And, I mean, you talked about it. We were talking earlier. Isn't it amazing how quickly they can erase deficits?
Yes. They miss a few shots, and you convert, and that's what happened last night. Houston goes up 16. But in the blink of an eye, you know, it was like three ball, foul, 2 free throws, a bucket, you know. And also, too, Houston turned the ball over in spurts. which even at the end of the game, which I thought cost them game one, they had an opportunity to steal one. With Harden playing as clutch as he was down the stretch, you just can't give the shooters for the Warriors multiple opportunities and multiple looks at the basket. They are just too good, and they're the one team that scares the bejesus out of me when it comes to the Cavaliers taking care of business in the Eastern Conference Finals, reaching the finals to play the Warriors, because you've got to close out. They're going to stretch our defense so thin. Not that they can attack the rim, but they're going to force us to play a type of basketball we haven't played consistently all year.
They are, and we got to get through the Hawks first.
I'm scared of the Hawks too.
They play their solid basketball team. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. They move the ball well. That's what I think could be the trouble for the Cavs. We saw the one game here when Mac hit like 100 wide open corner threes. They move the ball well. Cavs rotation defense is going to need to be good. I actually called into a radio station down in Atlanta today. They had me on Randy Cross, who I worked with at CBS. He hosts a show down there on 92.3. So they had me in. They wanted to talk a little bit about the series. And I'm getting my buddy who lives in Atlanta just texted me. They're giving me a lot of crap for comparing what Tristan Thompson has been doing to saying that it was Dennis Rodman-esque, in that he's going out there, he's getting double-digit boards every game, he's playing good post defense, and he doesn't care about shooting at all.
No.
So and I think it is Rodman-esque.
And he's making more free throws than Dennis Rodman ever would.
Yeah.
When given the opportunity. You know what also scares me? Well, Atlanta scares me much more than the Chicago Bulls did, because I thought the Chicago Bulls, as we saw in game one, you know, shot 50-plus from three-point land, 50-plus percent from the field, and we never saw that again the rest of the series. So they're very hot and cold. And yep. As you said, Atlanta's just well-balanced. You don't know who that guy is going to go for 27,
each game,
28
right.
each game. All, you know, most games, all five starters are in double figures, if not very close. And the guy who also, a lot like Steph Curry, scares me is Kyle Korver can go for 30 or he can go for like 8. And it's just a matter of he's got such a quick release, then he's such a streaky shooter like all those three-point shooters are. And he, to me, is an X factor in the series.
And he's been cold, but I don't think that's going to last.
Can't last.
It's not going to last
no.
forever. I do think that the Cavs go down. I think they win this game, and I do think they end up winning the series in six. That would be, if I was calling my shot, that's what I have for the Cavs.
I do too, and I was listening to a really big show as I was driving around this morning, and they actually had a caller call in, or I think it was just a random fan calling into the show, and they said if he had an opportunity to bet money on tonight or bet credits on tonight's game, since gambling is illegal, It would be tonight, because Kyrie is probably going to be the most healthy of this series
tonight
with the rest, with the rehab, you know, the time off, the pounding, no pounding. And so let's hope Kyrie goes and gets his 25. LeBron, you know, shows off in Hotlanta and got a good night's rest last night and goes wild tonight too.
Let's go, Cavs. Talk about that. Talk about this new PAT rule again. Over the last let me pull up the exact stat so that I can get it for everybody. But basically, a negligible difference. Now, there will be a difference in terms of conversions, but it's a negative. From 2013-2014, from 30 to 35 yards, from the center of the field, kickers converted on 98% of their kicks. Extra points have been over 99% in the same span. So we're talking about a very small change, like one extra miss out of 100, basically.
Sure. And as you talked earlier, you know, my perspective on this, what you're going to see – as we'll hear from, you know, later this show from special teams coach Chris Tabor, is the emphasis on effort by the defense on these plays. Whereas an extra point, you may have an edge guy who's feeling froggy and wants to come off the edge, and it's like if he's uncontested, you know, he'll get a piece and maybe affect a PAT once a game. You know, you'll get Hayden might want to take a shot once a game. That's it on a PAT. Whereas now, you're back a little bit further. You've created a little bit of doubt. The defensive linemen, who usually just stand up out of their stances and lean on the offensive linemen on a PAT, this is now going to feel a heck of a lot more like a field goal, where it's a graded play for the defensive players. You don't want to get a minus. That affects your total grade, might affect a bonus in some guys' eyes, depending on how their contracts are structured. And they're going to fire out, you know, and so the offense has got to be ready to protect that point from the 32 or 33, as opposed to the absolute certainty of an extra point from the 2-yard line.
And not only that, the defense, should they block it, pick it up and run it back, they can score 2 points off of
this. Right, absolutely.
So we got an interesting one from a Lil OU Mikey tweets us. It's an interesting game theory scenario. Team goes up by one late in the game with a touchdown. Do you kick the extra point? Do you go for two?
To be up a field goal.
Or do you kneel it? Let's say it's late in the game. Do you even risk the chance of anything happening that would allow the other team to take, block
sure.
a kick and go back for
yeah.
two, intercept, pick up a fumble and go for two, or do you just kneel it? Are there going to be scenarios where teams will forego now the right to even kick an extra point
right.
just to preserve
their
lead?
Or could you snap it right to the kicker, as we've seen before in those finicky little distances, snap it right to the kicker and have him just punt it out of bounds or something? So it's a dead play.
You could do what? Yeah. So I wonder if teams, though, with this being moved back, even though the percentages say they shouldn't change their strategy at all, if you go up one now, our team's going to go for two more to go up by three because to them it's a longer
it's a
field
point
goal.
Game. Right.
When even though in reality it's we're talking about a 1% difference in success rate from the two versus the 15.
You know what? I don't know. It's going to be, again,
you're going to see some kneeling, I think. I think you,
will. You will. And I think the same way that the Patriots found that finicky loophole, you know, with the ineligibles, there's going to be a strategy developed around this the rule change.
And you have the opportunity, I want people to know, you also have the opportunity if, let's say, you line up for the extra point and there's an offsides on the defense or some type of a penalty on the defense, you can then change, and once it gets moved to the one, you could go for a two-point conversion. So you're not stuck in, if there's a penalty or a timeout, you're not stuck in that particular thing. But it is an interesting situation. What if it's, you know, what if there's a game where it's super windy and there are blizzards out and, you know, you're not even worried about snapping.
Exactly. Or something else. How about, again, this scenario. Joe Hayden's coming hard off the edge, right? Gets held by the wing. 10-yard penalty. You move back. That's now a 42-yard penalty in a certain situation. Now, a 42-yard, you know, field goal is probably in the 70 to 80% conversion range, you know, but it reduces significantly with 10 yards. Or a personal foul, hands to the face, 15-yard penalty. It's now a 47-yard extra point. You're getting, and my whole point of being is
do you go for two from the 70?
You don't. Can the defense actually put a guy back and return that for 2 points if they catch an extra point, or is it dead?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, see,
it's live.
So those scenarios are all going to happen. Those are all, and again, we'll hear from Chris Tabor later in the show. Those are scenarios that he's talking with his coaches. He's probably calling other special team coaches, cross-referencing notes about their thoughts or, you know, past coaches and how they evaluate this new rule change so that they can be as well prepared for every situation that happens in an NFL football season.
Yeah, the penalties are going to become big on these plays.
Yes.
You can't, as an offensive team, you certainly, as the kicking team, you can't afford to get a penalty
no.
on one of these. But
half
also,
the distance to the goal.
Teams are going to go block them.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very interesting. And, yeah, there are going to be games where that 33-yarder due to weather is not automatic. There are going to be some cold weather games, some snow games. There are going to be some situations where that's not automatic. And are you going to see a game where teams just go for two, you know, act like their kicker? You know, sometimes kickers get hurt, and so teams just go out there and go
yeah.
for two. Or
yeah.
It'll be – it's
and I think also, too,
just interesting.
Their ability in certain wind conditions to move from the middle. You know, then you've got to get the ball moving. You've got the wear on the football field because there's a whole heck of a lot more football played out, you know, from the 15-yard line in that area than there is on the 1-yard line. So it might get chopped up over time, you know, where
yep.
a kicker's got to be able to, you know, plant his foot and make that kick from an area that's been chewed up. Because you got to figure, the ball after a touchback starts, you know, what, 20, at the 20-yard line,
yeah,
he's going to be kicking from the 22.
Teams are down at the 33
yeah.
much more often than they are
they
down.
Are. So all those scenarios
yep.
come into play.
A lot of stuff, as you said, or the 22, right, as you said. Teams are down inside the 20, right. That's one of the reasons the extra points played at the kick from the 10-yard line. It's not a big deal.
Right.
Kick from the 9, not a big deal. So, yeah, you're right. It's going to be – there's going to be a lot to it. It's going to be kicked out. Tough sledding is what
tough
kickers apparently say when the field is not in good shape. I found out that earlier today. All right, when we come back, we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. Let us know what you think of this new extra point rule. Mike Sando coming up at 1:30. What do you think is going to happen? What are the scenarios? What are you going to do? Let us know. 216-578-0850 here. And it's also going to make 2 points. I think you will see some more twos late in games. It's going to be very interesting to see how this ultimately plays out because the statisticians, I think, right now would tell you your strategy should not change. You're going from a 99% success rate to a 98% success rate. Not statistically significant when you're going for two, still a 47.8% success rate.
But it seems significant because one is from the two and one is 13 yards, which is a long way in the game of football, which is more than a first down, which is sometimes hard to get on three tries. away.
But these guys are so good. It's like they are. A chip shot. It's like a chip from just off the green or a chip from, you know, 15 yards off the green. He's still feeling pretty good about it. A man of your skill, Matt.
People can screw it up.
They certainly can. All right, back to more. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.